Around the NFL Podcast.
Ha-ha! This is the podcast right here.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by Intuit QuickBooks, the official sponsor of the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm coming to you from a city filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
How we doing?
One of the all-time great Matt Money Smith intros right there. He's not phoning in during the coronavirus.
I think the biggest shock to me during this whole month, which is, you know, seeing human civilization turned on its ear, is when I found out that Money was doing a podcast with Gianna from Love is Blind.
Giannina.
What's her name?
Giannina.
I'm still...
This is like a regular job, or was it like a one-time?
It's a gig.
Hey, if you can get Giannina.
I guess I just didn't think that Money would do that.
I mean, she certainly seems to have plenty of free time. Just judging by, you know, kind of a light scan of her Instagram activity, she has no concept at all that the world is troubled on any level at this point. She's sort of just floating around, you know, jogging around town, posing with her, like, legs up against a door.
Oh, you're tracking that closely from your location by yourself, aren't you?
No, I believe that I've shared with some of you.
Wait, you're still in the motel?
Some of the discoveries.
I thought you were due out yesterday.
Just for the shows. No, I told you we re-upped for the show. If you were to see my house, there's no separate room for me to go to do this. So I'm doing it.
I'm happy for you. I think you made a wise move.
I will say that I hope to come out of this with a Los Angeles County teacher certificate, because both parental units are into hour 7 or 8 of homeschooling. And they are not effing around with the curriculum. It is hot. It's intense.
Yeah. They gave us some, you know, suggested work packets and this and that. Let's just say we're going by our own plans.
Oh, wow, rock and roll.
We'll do what we can.
The boys have a 1-hour seminar right now. There's a mommy on the internet that has her own 2 children, and she teaches like a preschool like class. And one of her children melts down in the middle of the live stream every morning, which is kind of funny, because what's she going to do? She's on a live stream with a lot of people watching it. Mark, I do love that you said that you're doing this for the audience and for the podcast, not for you at all, not for you to be in your own place.
No,
miles totally away from selfless. Your family.
Well, it's definitely for the sanity of our family, too. But I'm kind of getting.
Well, there you go again. You said for the sanity of your family.
You can look around. There's nothing to do.
You said for the sanity of your family. I think there's some Mark Sessler involved with this as well, beyond the podcast community and the family.
Well, I mean, it's so. Of course, this is the direction that you will take. But I believe me, this was the best plan we could come up with for what our house is under right now. This was a smart move. So no shame involved. This is a getaway for anyone who has to do actual work.
No attempt at shaming, just trying to get to the bottom of it. That's all.
Well, that is the bottom of it. I mean, there's no other secret plans being had. I don't have anyone like hidden in.
Well, how much longer do you have it now? How much longer do you have this this residence unattached from your house? Indefinite or what? Like, what's going on here?
Well, we found it. No, not indefinite. Because remember, I mentioned that the rate of it was alarming, and it's not surprising because not a lot of people are Airbnb-ing in Los Angeles right now. So the people were kind of saying, hey, do you want to keep going at this place? And we're like, this is making sense for us. And the re-up was what you would pay for basically one night in a typical LA Airbnb for another week. So we just said, let's do it, because it's a place to go. And I don't think it's a bad plan, frankly. I mean, you know, if I had a garage separate where I could go broadcast, it might take some of those issues away, but we just don't have that space. So I'd be basically in like Luke and Colton's room attempting to discuss how important it is that Todd Gurley landed with the Falcons on a 1-year, $5 million deal with, you know, waves of chaos foaming around my ears and mouth. I don't even.
Yes, Todd Gurley did find a new home quickly, and we're going to get into all of the news since we last left you, and this is our 6th podcast in 6 days. That is an Around the NFL podcast record. So give yourselves a pat on the back, Barry Horowitz style, ladies and gentlemen of the show. And Ricky, you could update the Around the NFL podcast history book, if you don't mind.
You got it. Yeah, working on it tirelessly here.
You can also mark this day down as the first time Emeka, my wife, ever slithered on the ground in the background trying to get something out of this room to avoid being...
Is this the first time Emeka's ever heard any of the show, even if it's just your voice?
It is. It is. Well, they have been complaining, her and Ellis, my daughter, how loud my voice is during this, that the last thing I need is a gigantic microphone.
So we're going to go through the news, and we're also going to check in with where we stand now, Friday afternoon, late afternoon on the East Coast as we're taping this, and check in with free agents that are still out there, teams that could, you know, do well to connect with these free agents that are out there. But before we do that, before we get into the news, Wes, I would, you had mentioned that you had been kind of spinning around the league a little bit. And I was curious what teams you thought have gotten a lot better and a lot worse so far in the free agency process.
Well, I think the teams that have lost the most, Patriots, Rams, Texans, and here's a team that we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but the Vikings have lost a lot. We saw today Everson Griffin says he's not re-signing there. So Linval Joseph, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Stephon Diggs. I mean, they're losing good players. They're losing guys who were nucleus for their team last year. So the Vikings really strike me as a team. I don't know if we see them as like a division contender anymore. I don't.
Well, I'm not even a contender.
Not for the division title, no. I don't think they're in the Packers league, and I'm not sure they're in the Bears league.
Well, it's super early. Like the Patriots, for instance, and I'm sure the Rams and Vikings look at this too, are going to be aggressive in the second phase of free agency, and that's when they often find a lot of their good players. But the Vikings especially, they've had such continuity on defense. This will look different than any Mike Zimmer team. He's going to have to prove kind of his coaching bona fides that he can take a bunch of guys that they find in the draft and turn it into what's been one of the better defenses in the league.
Yeah, and I would say to fans out there of teams that have not been active that are perhaps freaking out on subreddits or wherever right now, to hang tight. As a fan of a team that has made splashes in the first wave of free agency, the Jets, and it often blows up in their face, it's not easy to nail these first wave signings. You're putting out a lot of money. You're bringing in a veteran that the team, in many cases, the team he's leaving did not make it a priority to keep him in the building. So just because you don't hit on some of these quote unquote big names doesn't mean you can't do damage at all. This is when it really, you got to have a GM that knows what he's doing and an organization that has its crap together. So hang tight. Don't panic. Don't panic in any way in the world.
I think about it. A year ago, there were images of right as free agency was going crazy and people were lauding the active teams and fans of non-active teams were melting down. Images of Bill Belichick and I believe like Barbados diving off a pier, kind of thick-bellied, diving off a pier into the water. And it's like he wasn't even in the office on the first day or two of free agency. So, you know, there are many ways to attack the market. My issue with the Rams a little bit, and we hit on it yesterday, but they also have burnt through draft stock to a degree where they're not able just to turn to the draft and solve their issues. I'm a little hard-pressed to figure out how they're going to solve some of the vacancies.
Wes, is there another team that jumps out to you that maybe isn't getting as much talk right now?
As far as getting worse?
Or better, either way.
Yeah, some of the teams that are getting better, I think a lot of teams I can see a plan. But going beyond that, who could win more games this year? Because they're clearly better. The Arizona Cardinals, I think, are clearly better. They've added on defense in addition to DeAndre Hopkins. The Miami Dolphins, I like what the Browns have done. And I think the Colts are a better team, getting two impact players in Phillip Rivers and DeForest Buckner. A couple of AFC West teams, Broncos and Chargers, are better, I think. Buffalo Bills,
ready to make that move and the Patriots' long reign atop the AFC East, maybe. We shall see. All right. Now, let's do some news, gentlemen. And yes, let's start with Todd Gurley, who we just talked about it yesterday, that it felt that like Gurley could be in a difficult situation because the Rams cut ties with him. There are questions about that knee. But the fact that he's a free agent, I think there's a
I think it's important distinction here. The fact that he was on the street is different than Cam Newton's situation. Like the Panthers, Cam Newton has a medical situation as well, but he's still attached to a team and that team wants to maybe trade him, and that mucks the whole thing up. Gurley's able to be a free agent, quickly contact any team. The Falcons interested, and they sign him to a 1-year, $5 million contract, essentially a prove-it deal for Gurley to show that he can get back to his former dominant ways. The deal, of course, now is contingent on the 25-year-old Gurley passing his physical with the team whenever that comes. Gurley is unemployed for less than 24 hours. It's a good landing spot, Greg, isn't it? Because he's a Devontae Freeman was let go by the Falcons. This is a team that had no identity running the football last year. Perhaps Gurley is in a situation where he could kind of resurrect himself.
It's a perfect, well, maybe not perfect situation, but it's a better opportunity than I necessarily would have expected him to get. $5.5 million guaranteed, $6 million base. That would indicate to me there was some competition for Todd Gurley, because I was surprised that he's getting that kind of money right off the bat, considering how he played last year. He fits what they want to do in terms of the zone, like the one-cut power scheme. I don't see any reason to think that he's better than average. I think in a good situation, he's going to be a decent starting running back, and that's probably the best.
So much of this is unknown, and I think that starts with Todd Gurley himself. The year they went to the Super Bowl, by November, he wasn't the same back, and I think he was trying to figure out how much of his knee was the same as it was a couple of weeks before. The Rams have been operating in the dark. They haven't known how serious the knee injury was or to what extent it would affect him. And I get what Greg's saying. It's especially alarming that he was useless in the passing game last year. Beyond useless, he was terrible in the passing game. He didn't make plays. That is usually a sign that a guy is losing his ability to make people miss when that happens. On the other hand, we're going to be another, what, 6-7 months removed from the last time he ran the ball. Who knows how much the knee is healing on its own in that time? I just feel like it's an acceptable risk for what they're paying him, to see what he can come back as with the Falcons after giving that knee some more rest. We just don't know.
I think it's a reminder that there are two or three raging stars out there today that have signed mega deals. And the way that it works with a lot of these skill position players is we have no idea where they will be 2 years from now. I mean, the narrative on Todd Gurley, where we are today from when he signed that extension, is one of the more shocking trajectories for a player in a long time. And I honestly, I'm kind of happy for the Rams that they don't have to dance around answers regarding Todd Gurley anymore, because I feel like it's been two off seasons in a row where there have been all these kind of ridiculous, not half truths, because I think they just didn't know where Todd Gurley would be, but I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's like, we all get it. He's on the fringe at this point, and we can only find out who he is with the Falcons when the games start. I don't want to hear like promising, you know, flowery reports about how great he looks in non-padded practices until we see it this time around. The money tells
flowery
us nothing is
from
to be guaranteed.
No flowery reports from Flowery Branch.
Well, that's...
Well, you're lucky, Mark. I don't think we're going to have any non-padded practices this year. I'm beginning to wonder if we're going to have training camp even as far away as this.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell, a great football writer for ESPN, he tweeted out yesterday, which, you know, is a fair point. Imagine if the Texans just kept DeAndre Hopkins and then signed Todd Gurley for $5 million. Feels like a better situation than having Randall Cobb and David Johnson and giving up a second round pick. I don't know. Feels like a better team building scenario.
You're right. But Bill O'Brien doesn't want to be around DeAndre Hopkins or any other good players on his team except Deshaun Watson.
There's every scenario that includes taking back like the worst trade on paper we've ever seen. Is a good scenario.
You could say that. In other running back news, Melvin Gordon finds a home. So 24 hours ago, one of the kind of conversations around free agency week was how quiet the running back market has been. Well, now it's starting to move. Melvin Gordon has signed a 2-year, $16 million deal with $13.5 million guaranteed with the Denver Broncos. Rap Sheet reports this is another weapon with Philip Lindsay back there, Royce Freeman. It's a bit of a crowded backfield and an interesting move. Gordon, let's face it, at the end of the day, Mark, this could not have worked out too much worse. He did get a 2-year deal. We were talking about he might have to play on a 1-year prove it deal. So he does get 2 years. He does get almost $14 million guaranteed, but he's not even walking into a situation where he's going to have guaranteed number of carries going his way like Todd Gurley has for right now.
I thought it was interesting that Ian reported that Melvin Gordon, there were a couple teams interested in Melvin Gordon, and that he specifically wanted to stay in the AFC West to stick it to the Chargers, basically, that he wanted to stay in that division.
Oh, please.
I kind of love that because, you know, last year could not have gone worse for Melvin Gordon. You stage what was one of the more ineffective holdouts of our time. You come back and you don't fit with Austin Ekeler. And if anything, it kind of dragged the offense down, had one of his worst seasons. I still think he could be awesome somewhere if he gets healthy, if he's on a hot streak and he plays the way we've seen in the past. It kind of bums me out if it overshadows or steals away from Philip Lindsay, because, and I know Wes loves him too, I think he's one of the more electric, exciting players. So you got to find a way to make that work. But I don't dislike the signing at all. So I mean, the Broncos
That Melvin Gordon almost narrowed his choices down to 3 other teams in the league because he wanted to get revenge on the Chargers. This isn't exactly Brett Favre leaving the Packers to go to the Vikings. I mean, come on now.
They wanted to pay him last year. He didn't want their money, and he cost them games. He's the villain here. Give me a break with this, that he's going to get his revenge on the Chargers. The Chargers are going to get the revenge on him when he's sitting behind Philip Lindsay this year. And it's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL. We've seen that several times this week. But last summer, Melvin Gordon is holding out, and now Austin Ekeler gets more guaranteed money than he does. His backup got more guaranteed money. And at this time last year, the Broncos were telling us that Royce Freeman was going to take carries away from Philip Lindsay and be their number one back.
It's a super volatile. There's no more volatile position in the NFL than running back. Things change so quickly due to the pay schism compared to the other elite positions in the league, due to the injuries and how losing half a step seems devastating to a running back, as we're seeing all over the league every year. It's just wild how much things change.
I want to know what Mark feels, just like emotional inside with this Melvin Gordon, you know, trying to get revenge, because he's a lifelong Chargers fan, according to the hat that he's broke out today.
Well, I mean, I was a fan of a different team, the Titans, yesterday, and it's like half the people on our show apparently have 8 different favorite teams, and Greg is now a Bucks fan. So, I'm just joining the totally confusing roadmap of where anyone's loyalty
is. That's 2 points for Mark.
I could enjoy other football teams. And I'll tell you what, I might be enjoying
this. Well, so am I allowed to?
That's why I was just wondering about the emotions.
I don't understand where the question comes from.
Minus 2 for Greg.
I love this signing, though. I mean, I know they have Philip Lindsay, but Elway said quickly, you need 2 backs, and that makes sense to me. I think for what they want to do, Melvin Gordon, when he's right, I remember, you know, thinking he was a better player than Todd Gurley as a rookie, and I wrote it, and I probably took more grief like on Twitter for that opinion over the next few years after that than anything I can remember writing, because Gurley just like took off like a supernova. But I would still take Melvin Gordon over Todd Gurley. Like when he's right, he's a complete back, and that's a great backfield.
I would take Ted Gurley over Todd Gurley.
Wes, I know you don't buy that Melvin Gordon is a functionally good person on any level at this point, but like, wouldn't it be better to
Sessler
go to the Rams
if
you want to stick it to the Chargers? No, I would say go to the Rams. That was Ian's report. I didn't bake that out of nowhere. But like, I'd say go to the Rams, replace Todd Gurley. There's really not – there is competition there as well with Henderson. But like, you thrive in L.A. with the other L.A.'s other team. That's revenge. Denver, who's going to be paying attention up there?
We live at a time, Mark, where when you make mistakes, you keep doubling down on them, according to the leaders in this country, because you can't ever be found out. And Melvin Gordon is a good person who made a mistake last year, and he keeps doubling down on it because he doesn't want to admit that he made a mistake and cost his team games.
And it's also 2020, and the idea – not to hammer this point any further, but the idea that you have to stay in the division to get your revenge, everyone sees every player in every game now. It's not like if you leave the region or leave the time zone or leave the TV market, people can't keep up with you and decide whether or not you were worthy of the deal you thought you were worth. Good luck to Melvin Gordon. Get back on track, buddy. But come on, let it go.
I mean, something tells me the Broncos offered the most money to him, and
most likely
to that team. And then it's just a funny thing that an agent tells a reporter.
In other news, Tom Brady officially a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He has signed a 2-year, $50 million contract that includes another $9 million available in incentives, so it can get up to $59 million. No trade clause. 20-year veteran getting that much guaranteed money, a no-trade clause, a multiple-year contract. It is unprecedented. And according to RotoWorld, only Jared Goff, Ben Roethlisberger, and Dak Prescott, and Russell Wilson, and Jimmy Garoppolo, excuse me, will take up more of their team's cap at quarterback under center. So Tom Brady finally paid like a superstar, super duper star. He gets the money. Turns out that the Patriots never even made an offer for Tom Brady, which is somewhat notable. Mike Giardi had this report, and Giardi's been done a good job. He's been pretty plugged in. Clearly has the ear of Robert Kraft. Here's what Giardi's report was today. When I spoke to Robert Kraft, he made this analogy about Tom Brady's departure. Here's the quote. Think about loving your wife and for whatever reason, there's something, her father or mother, that makes life impossible for you. And you have to move on, but you know you don't want to. Hubba hubba. Now, with that said, Ricky, let's do a little bit of a investigation here of who Robert Kraft could be alluding to. Could it be Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots? Noted butter of heads with Tom Brady. Focus of drama in the Seth Wickersham piece. Could it be Don Yee, the sports agent, Tom Brady's agent? Could it be Alex Guerrero, Argentine alternative medicine practitioner, an alkaline diet advocate, personal trainer of Tom Brady, and the source of much, much consternation on the Patriot Way? Could it be Gisele, Brazilian model, activist, author, actress, businesswoman, wife of Tom Brady, and the woman with the eternal quote, "My husband cannot effing throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time"? Who is Robert Kraft talking about?
Wait, can I go with another option?
Sure.
I'm going to go G, a clumsy analogy that made no sense. It's just like word soup.
No, here we go. Here we go. Carry that water. Oh, I'm not a Patriots fan
it's
anymore, but you are defending this organization
it's quite
at every
the opposite.
Turn.
It's quite the opposite. I'm saying that the less said, the better, I would say, considering some of the quotes coming up. I'm just saying it's such a tortured analogy. There's a chance it means absolutely nothing.
I know you want it to mean absolutely nothing, but perhaps it doesn't mean absolutely nothing, Greg. Perhaps some things mean something.
I thought he was just calling Bill Belichick a mother-in-law.
Right, that would be good.
Tell me what means, Greg. Tell me how that's just word soup or word salad, and that's not something that's pointed and he's referring to someone in particular.
Because if you've looked at the quotes in the last few days, he's clearly in his feelings, you know, and he's just sort of like, I don't know, lashing out, basically. Like, the other quotes were that that Tom Brady made the choice to leave. Like, I don't, basically, I don't find it like a overly credible source.
What do you mean? Robert Kraft, his quote directly to Mike Giardi? I'm not making sense of your defense of this situation here.
This is not a defense. I'm trying to, you know, walk a tightrope here. I'm just saying I'm not too worried about his quote, I guess I would say, like that it has any meaning in the greater world.
Anybody else have a thought on this?
I mean, Dan?
Yes.
I think if it's Robert Guerrero, the TB12 and fitness guru, he is going to be found underneath the Mass Turnpike, because if he's the reason that Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots, that's not going to sit well with an angry contingent of people in that state. I mean, maybe it was a somewhat clumsy quote, But it's to me, and maybe I tilt in the other direction than Greg does on this, Robert Kraft seems to be pointing the finger at someone, and he's not pointing it at himself. And to me, it's Bill Belichick or bust. But
right, but he also pointed the finger at Tom Brady specifically a day or two ago, which was probably like the least classy thing that went on in this entire after effect. So that would be the opposite of that. Yeah, logic would say, of course, Belichick didn't want him. They didn't offer him a contract. I think one thing I would note on you mentioning he finally gets that big time quarterback money. This wasn't that good of a contract. He made this money last year. He made this money on his previous extension. The fact he got 2 years is pretty interesting, but the fact that he's making $5 million less than Ryan Tannehill this year, I found interesting. Every report said he had $30 million at least per year, that the Patriots were offering it a month or two ago, and those reports turned out to be total agent-generated garbage.
Go ahead, Wes.
Well,
he's making 25 a year. That's what he made last
this
year.
This guy has habitually taken less money. I mean, why would I think that he tried to get as much money as he possibly could?
Here's why. Because the reports literally 2 days ago said he told both teams he would only, you know, he wanted to start the negotiations at $30 million guaranteed per year, and that the Chargers and the Bucks were in immediately off of that. But that isn't, ultimately, that's not what he got.
I don't believe that he tried to get as much money as possible. It's not what he's done in the past. And I know you've tried to frame it other ways, but he could get more money, and he's never tried to get more money. He's never said, I want this to be purely about the money. I think he understands.
I also
how
read
team
that
building
he,
works.
The Patriots did not, as I said, did not make any type of offer to him. And the Patriots said Tom Brady never came to us. The Patriots not even engaging with him on this. That's interesting to me as well. And if he wanted $60 million and he got 50 with a chance to get up to 59 with another team, it sounded like the Patriots are never going to play ball with him if they never got involved in any tangible discussion with him.
I think that's right. I think Belichick most likely played it in such a way that Brady had no other choice but to leave, and that he probably had the feeling that Brady wanted to leave to begin with, but either way, they were ready to move on. I agree.
All right,
with that.
Last thing. I'm just going to go through. I'm going to parse it one more time, Greg. So think about loving your wife, and for whatever reason, there's something, right, her father or mother. So in this analogy, Kraft is the husband. The wife is Brady, okay? There's something, and there's an outside figure, the father or mother, someone close to the wife, that makes it impossible for you, and you have to move on, but you don't want to. I don't see how he's not pointing the finger at someone. And if it's Belichick, that would be wild.
I guess my point is, he pointed the finger at Brady 2 days ago, which was really surprising to me. And maybe why are you still talking about this? If you're
all right, let us.
Well, because it's the biggest NFL story in 10 years. That's why.
Well, but here's the thing, Mark. He was literally
silent.
Sure. If the other option is that he literally was calling Stephen A. Smith during ad breaks because he didn't like what they were saying on the air, and then he's kind of taking away the work that they put in with the state public statements that they're reaching, and then deciding to point the finger at Tom Brady to an ESPN analyst so that he can then relay that you're pointing a finger. And now there's another finger being pointed. It's a little,
there's a middle finger being pointed.
To me, Kraft has always been willing to talk to the media at length. And I think he wanted to make it clear to everyone, I am not the reason. Well, whether it's Brady and whether it's he's throwing some shade at Brady, also said some very nice things about Tom Brady, and whether he's throwing shade at person X, which is Belichick probably, he's making it clear to everyone in Boston, I'm not the reason.
Right, which it goes back to Wes's point, and the reason why this part frustrates me more than anything to deal with the Brady divorce, it's a total lack of responsibility. You know, it's the person at the top choosing to point fingers instead of accepting that, like, hey, this happened. I'm in charge. I share the responsibility. And probably the best thing to do is to be like my quarterback and coach, who would never.
That's
say
fair.
What
he if they never made the offer, if Brady and the team hit an impasse, and Brady said, "I'm going to go paid elsewhere if you're not going to be aggressive," when it's all said and done, the owner should just take ownership and say, we decided to go in a different direction. Because when you do this, you have jabronis like me and everybody else out there that are now going to parse your quote and wonder if there's a schism here with Belichick. And that's what, you know, going back 3 or 4 years ago, that Wickersham piece for ESPN, everyone always wondered whether Belichick and Brady could survive as a pairing in terms of their egos and relationship. And this just kind of throws kerosene on it, quite honestly. And I think it's going to continue to be a story, because as good as the Patriot way is with keeping things off the books, I think this is one that leaks and will continue to leak, just because, like Mark said, it is one of the biggest NFL stories in a very long time.
I think you're absolutely right, but it's also, it's supported in basically every report around Brady, how eager he was to have a different type of voice in his head. Like that, like the people that seem closest to Brady keep reporting how he wanted to be treated like an adult. I think the Arian style of coaching, like he just was sick of that, which is very natural after 20 years that he was sick of that type of coaching. He didn't want to go back like competing with Jarrett Stidham.
You're totally right. And I would go look at Tom Brady's Instagram post from today where he talks about, I think with excitement, about starting over, calling it year one, and how it's his responsibility to win over that locker room and win over his coaches and show them from in a day-to-day process the way he did in New England, that he arrives with nothing. He just has to show it. And Brady, to me, sounds like refreshed and happy, like he's the one that got out of this marriage he wasn't happy about.
I like that Chris Godwin is not guaranteeing that he's giving the number 12 away either.
Well, that's bargaining.
He was saying like he can't wait for to play with Tom Brady, and he's texted with him and everything. But he was also like, well, it hasn't really come up, but, you know, I kind of want
to. We should all wish to have such leverage in negotiations that Chris Godwin has right now, you know. Let's stay on the topic of dramatic situations involving head coaches and players. This story, and I read it in ESPN, Michael Rothstein had it. Darius Slay, who, of course, was traded by the Lions to the Eagles, who then gave him a new contract, a big piece added to the Eagles secondary this week. Slay spoke out about issues with Matt Patricia that he didn't see, quote, eye to eye a lot with one person in the organization. It was Matt Patricia, and he cited two specific instances. One where Slay returned from working out with a collection of star cornerbacks, and when he met with Patricia shortly after that, Patricia made sure to tell him that he wasn't in the class of these cornerbacks, Richard Sherman, Aqib Talib, Xavier Rhodes. He told him that he wasn't, quote, elite. That's some straight out of the Greg Williams book of coaching. And then the big incident involved Slay posting something on social media about a wide receiver that he had been practicing with that had some success against him in the practice. And I guess Slay posted some type of positive message with a picture of that wide receiver. And Patricia went off on him in a team meeting and said something very beyond the pale. To put it softly, you know, don't suck up to an opponent or another guy like this. You got to be tough. But much more coarse than that in terms of the language. And that led to a total breakdown in Slay saying, I almost, you know, I had to be restrained, but I kept my cool, but he could never look at him with any respect after that. Matt Patricia is a major problem with the Lions, I think. And this is just another example to me of a situation where they have to get out of this sooner rather than later.
It's just another example of a Belichick disciple leaving New England, coming to a new place, and without really establishing any kind of respect, without earning respect, has started acting like a jerk to his players. And we've seen this with Eric Mangini, with Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien. You're not Bill Belichick. You can't act like him. Act like yourself. And I'm a little confused also at Darius Slay. His offense at this was more about his manhood being questioned than the fact of sexual orientation in general being besmirched. I just like the whole thing.
Comes from a different place than us, a different background, and it's a level of manhood challenging that I think Slay took offense to. I mean, that's how he saw it. It wasn't so much a challenge of his orientation.
Well, get over it then. If it's only about challenging your manhood, then get over it. If it's about something deeper, yeah, then I understand.
And this is Slay's quote right there. After that, that's when all my respect went out the door for him as a man. So, you know, Patricia is entering year three. The Lions, you know, it seemed like a coin flip whether he would stick around. They decided to keep Patricia in the building, and he's going to need results this year because I think he is going to be when I put out the hot butt rankings later this August, hopefully, Patricia is going to be right at the top of the list with Doug Marrone. He's got to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in a best case scenario, maybe he's just like one of those people who tries to be funny and sarcastic, but then everyone around them just thinks like they're...
That was another quote in it, that his sense of humor does not click with the players. Tough sitch, as they say, for Matt Patricia. In other free agency news, Eric Ebron has a job. The former Lions and Colts tight end signs a 2-year, $12 million deal with the Steelers. He's only 26. He's a first-round pick a long time ago, it feels like, but he's still just 26. He had that breakout season with Andrew Luck and the Colts a couple of years ago, 13 touchdown catches, I believe. But he did not make an impact last year, was banged up, and had a very disappointing run in Detroit overall. Steelers hoping to get something out of him. This comes at the same day that Ben Roethlisberger, in a report, is saying that he feels great. He hasn't thrown without pain like this in a long time. So that was certainly welcome news on the Steelers' front as well.
One, Ben Roethlisberger also has been, you know, preparing, I think, for the end of days in this pandemic, you know, for a long time based on how he looks. So he's ready.
I like that Ebron signing. The Steelers have been trying to fill that Heath Miller hole every year. And Ebron's only, what, a year removed from that 13 or 14 touchdown season. I saw somebody comparing his numbers last year to Jimmy Graham's numbers. And give me a break with that nonsense. Watch the film. Get out of the stat book for a second.
Ouch.
Ebron can still make plays. He can still box out and jump over people in the end zone. Jimmy Graham's not doing that anymore.
It's fair, dog.
Andrews P. Gets a big deal from the Saints. He sticks around a 5-year, $57.5 million contract. No player at his position has gotten this kind of money in free agency. That's $33 million guaranteed at signing. Number 13 overall pick. Greg, were you surprised to see Andrews Pete get this type of guap from his team?
I was shocked, and I wanted to put this in the rundown just to mention Saints Twitter just being aghast. this is the worst thing that's ever happened. All they'd like to do is make fun of Andrews Pete every day. My guy, that boy Wolf. I mean, they were just hoping. I think they all unfollowed Andrews Pete, just hoping he was leaving for another team. And then they bring him back and give him a ton of money. He was like the biggest reason they lost that game against the Vikings.
Your boy, that boy Wolf,
Saints fans
tweeted the Bengals asking if they would accept him as a fan now.
Wait, so the Saints, they unfollowed Andrews Pete in mass? Is that true?
Well, I don't know about that. That's kind of a going bit that, again, I mean, Dat Boy Wolf is getting
Dat Boy Wolf popular, killing it right
but
now.
He, every time one of their players goes to another team, he just like, quote, retweets it and with all caps, unfollowed. And so, I don't know. they just hate them some Andrews Pete. And then so this contract, I think, threw them for a loop.
Hey, Ryan.
I haven't seen hate like this from Saints Twitter since Kurt Coleman.
Hey, Ryan, a.k.a. Dat Boy Wolf. You're having a moment. Man, I know things are tough right now, and we're all getting through it the best we can. But just know, you're having a moment, and we see it. Maybe it gets overlooked in the big picture, but you're having a wolf. You're having a wolfy moment here. Moving on. Let's get into it. That's what's happening in the news. There's your rundown. We talked about it. We wanted to go through players that are still out there. And are, you know, could be a nice pickup in the second wave of free agency. We'll start right here, and we could go through the list, but we'll start right here. Mike Giardi, our own Mike Giardi, reports that the Patriots are, quote, unlikely to target free agent quarterback Jameis Winston. So if Giardi's reporting is accurate, and it has been to this date in Patriots-related matters, you could cross off another potential starting job for Jameis Winston. Let's talk about Winston a little bit. Do you think we're reaching the point where the man coming off the 33 touchdown, 5,000 yard season, also 30 interceptions, is going to be holding a clipboard in week one, barring some type of unforeseen circumstances?
I think we're getting closer and closer to that. I mean, no one was rushing out for Jameis Winston. I still see a few landing spots out there where if he got into training camp, the current quarterback in question could be unseated, because I think Jameis, I would say Jacksonville would be somewhere where if that team kind of melts and Jameis Winston were at the backup quarterback spot behind Gardner Minshew, that he could easily be starting by week five or six. I feel the same way if Andy Dalton went to Jacksonville.
Right. They hired Jay Gruden, who drafted Andy Dalton with the Bengals. That was clearly Mike Brown wanted Kaepernick and Jay Gruden wanted Dalton. I could see definitely the Jaguars getting Dalton. I don't see Jay Gruden going for Jameis.
But Dalton makes a ton of sense there. But there aren't a lot of spots where Winston, if he goes, is going to like be seen as a starter.
I can't find anywhere for him.
He's not going to be a starter week one. Probably his best chance to play would be Washington. If they kind of take him as the if Dwayne Haskins struggles, let's play Jameis Winston guy, which just feels like a Washington move. I can very much imagine Jameis Winston struggling on the Redskins. I don't think it'd be a good move for Jameis Winston, but I just don't see him having options. I was wondering if the Patriots might be interested, but it's great.
Here's another option. Potentially the Chargers are out there. Now everyone's connecting them to taking a quarterback, which if that's the case, if they're set on that, they're not going to go near Winston because they already have a solid backup in Tyrod Taylor. And I'm trying to think where else would he, I'm talking about anywhere where he would have any chance to be the week one starter. I think Washington, perhaps, Jacksonville, perhaps, L.A., perhaps, but we're running out of options, and that goes for, you know, Andy Dalton, of course, as well, and Cam Newton.
Not logical.
I went through his former offensive coordinators. I went through his former quarterbacks coaches. None of these guys are even in the NFL anymore. I don't see a fit.
I don't like them anyways, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't see anywhere for Jameis. Like, I don't even know where he's going to go to be a pure
maybe
backup.
Denver, I thought maybe if Elway, you know, just wanted to bet on some talent as a guy to put behind Locke.
It is another reminder in football, running back is the most volatile of these positions, it seems. But quarterback is right there, too, because it was only a couple summers ago on Hard Knocks that Jameis Winston was the darling of Tampa Bay, and he was up at 5 a.m. listening to affirmative words of affirmation, those audiobooks, and the whole building was just obsessed with him, seeing him as their past, their present, and their future. And now he's in a position where he's going to have to basically rebuild his career from scratch. And everyone is saying how shocking it is because he is had the 30-plus touchdowns, the 5,000 yards passing. But I think the book on him got so thick over the years and years of careless play that it just poisoned him on this market. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, he basically has to remake his entire game. And I don't know if that's possible. It certainly didn't look like he had that ability in 5 years in Tampa.
I mean,
anybody want to throw out
nine?
With
Jameis Winston throwing in 30 interceptions, they lost like five or six games by one score, and he threw seven pick sixes. Can you ever imagine him on New England when Bill Belichick benches a running back who will, if he fumbles, up by 25 points in the third quarter? So it's like, I can't think of a worse marriage than a team that is obsessed with flawless football. You need to find someone that's looking for a gunslinger and maybe just banking on talent. And I just don't, to Wes's point, I don't see where that landing spot is.
Oh, okay.
No way.
Denver.
Now, the more I think of it, it really does feel like.
What if Drew Lock is just not much by week four? Then you have
They need something else there.
You have a person behind him. I don't know about viable.
You know, Jonah Gray, is that his name? He's still chained to a radiator somewhere.
Jonas, yeah.
He had a 200-yard, four-touchdown game on Sunday Night Football, and then his iPhone didn't go off, and Belichick basically ruined his career for it. So, yeah. It is what it is with Bill sometimes. Bill's Bill.
Yeah. I mean, if Jonas Gray was meant to be the next Earl Campbell, it would have happened.
Anybody Wes, you want to throw one out there? Throw out a player that's still a free agent right now as of Friday late afternoon, and perhaps a fit.
Well, this guy is not like a household name, but he's a very good starting safety, Von Bell from the Saints. They signed Malcolm Jenkins, appears to have taken his place, so he's probably not going back to New Orleans. But I see all the, you know, the reports that all these guys are interested in going to Tampa Bay and playing with Tom Brady. I don't know if Evan Bain is really moving the needle on that front, but or Joe Haig, I guess, is the guy they signed. Haig, Colts backup lineman. But Von Bell, they have a need at safety, could be a fit there. And I think the Bears are another team after losing Clinton Dix that they could pair him with Eddie Jackson.
I would love to, I would love to see.
He's one of our highest ranked players.
I would love to know what the market is now for Jadeveon Clowney. I would like to know where his price tag is at, because at the right price, if he is not being paid as one of the most, you know, if he's not valued by the league is amongst the highest paid players in the league on defenses, which what he wants it to be. If that price tag comes down, he makes sense for a ton of teams. I mean, you can name 15, 20 teams that could use a guy like him that could at times dominate from the edge. So I'm not going to even attach him to one team, but I'm just curious if his market is coming down and he's not going to get the money he wanted. I think it was what, $20 million annually. If any number of teams should maybe check in, even if he initially wasn't on the list because they thought he'd be too rich.
Well, the Seahawks reportedly have a multi-year.
And he had interest in the Giants. That's one. If the price gets down to the certain place, New York Giants.
The Seahawks reportedly had a multi-year offer on the table that he didn't like. So maybe it was like a 3-year, 17 a year, or he might have to take a 1-year contract for more, you know, per year money. That are apparently,
you know, Wes, this would be another example for the GM. I don't know how that would work, actually. Maybe there is some type of moderator. All right, I got it. So we, as a moderator, as a moderator, you have the intel, you know what the offer is, and then you kind of drop it in there as at the top of the thread, like top thread. Hey, Jadeveon Clowney right now, it's 4 years, $48 million. Who can beat it? And then that could basically juice the market and everybody gets a chance to look at it and decide whether to play ball.
Well, I see this as an opportunity to expand. It's like, from the developers of the GM app, we present the free agent app. Shop yourself around the league. So it allows you to use the GM app as a free agent.
Isn't that basically what an agent is being hired to do?
We're changing everything.
Isn't that what the GM is hired to do?
So you're killing like 600 jobs, basically.
I mean, they're agents.
Well, the app handles that. That's what all apps do. They kill jobs.
My other question with the app is, aren't front offices, aren't one of the main tenets of an NFL front office to not share information with anyone else? And this does the...
I guess the point, I guess the one of the points...
You know,
this is a new tech savvy.
Right, it's 2020. The world is upside down. Maybe it's time to take a look. Like, it's like how Los Angeles, as you use it as an example, with everyone off the roads for the most part, industry at a standstill, we have never had better air quality. You have to go back, you know, hundreds of years to match the air quality we have right now.
1640.
And guess what? 1640, bro. And guess what? Nobody would have even known that if this didn't happen. And now we have a chance to do something similar in this realm where no one ever thought that things needed to change or what could happen if you did change.
Excellent.
And now here we are. Here we are standing at the doorstep of history. Are we going to walk in, Mark, or are you going to just stay on the outside? You make the decision.
All right. At the same time, like every eatery, bistro, bar, public place is closed. So, I mean, the trade-off, we have some nice air. And that's a
nothing
positive
to do with it.
People are dying.
Go anywhere. You can't talk to anyone.
You can go on hikes, though. I feel like people, you can go on walks. You can go exercise. People taking this stay inside thing a little too much. They're saying go get outside.
Ricky, you are.
You know.
Well, you've got it figured out, Craig. I mean, we could have gone hiking before too, though. So it's like, you know, hike now. Hike
but now
before.
We have.
I mean,
now we have.
Ricky, you're a glorious social butterfly in the prime of her youth. With that, there has been some buzz out there. I think Lakeisha Jackson-Wessling had thrown it out there as a possibility of some type of happy hour, like everybody gets on a Google Hangout type situation and cracks a few and gets loose. Is that something that you maybe can spearhead because you are very good at these things?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually, it's with some of my best friends from home. We're doing a virtual happy hour at 5 o'clock Pacific because it's 8 o'clock nice. There. So we'll have to schedule ours a little bit later for me to be able to jump in. But yeah, I can spearhead that.
I guess I'll plan on being virtually happy.
I haven't. You know, Wes has said that he hasn't had a drink since this started. I have not had a drink in 45 hours about. And I'm feeling like it's time to treat myself.
Mr. Jones.
45 oh, well, that's, hours.
You were in hot water, it sounded like, on Wednesday or so. So this is a positive update.
It's time to get
I
loose.
I have completely destroyed my body. My body is destroyed.
It's dead. It's done. It's a wrap.
It's just like there's no coming out like of this. Like I try to do workout videos and I've been going up for walks, but then I just totally destroy every bit of progress that I make.
What would you say you're ingesting?
Just like way too much booze, way too much booze.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
You know. I don't think so. So, like, I drank a little bleach.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
I want to check in on this deflated wide receiver market. Connor Hughes does great work for The Athletic covering the Jets. He reported today that it is, quote, radio silence on the Robbie Anderson market, which, you know, speaking of the bill coming due, the bill came due on Jameis Winston, all those mistakes. And now he can't get a job and he's in a tough spot. Robbie Anderson, even though he kept his nose clean this past year, the fact that he's not, you know, he's not exactly a polished wide receiver, despite having great speed and playmaking ability. The fact that he was a knucklehead off the field and has had multiple issues in the past. When you combine those things, teams aren't looking at him, it seems, in a way where they want to pay him. Or maybe this all the reports out there that he wanted $15 million a year is scaring teams off and it's time for his price tag to come down.
That's it.
Now, it's probably maybe a little bit of both, but probably more than money. I think very strongly that the Jets should get Robbie Anderson and keep him in the building. I've said that multiple times. But I want to throw another team out there. What are the Packers doing? We love our boy, the big German.
This is your corner.
What's his name again? Goody. Let's listen to that, Ricky. We love Goody, and he did a great job or great-ish job rebuilding the defense last year. But it has been pretty...
Packers need more weapons for Rodgers. It's Dan's corner. It's his offseason.
And you know
corner.
What? It's been pretty quiet. And I'll tell you what. Emmanuel Sanders is out there, too, still. Robbie Anderson is out there.
Rashad Perryman,
which, all right. But DeAndre Hopkins...
No, I'm just saying nobody's signing wide receivers because of this draft class coming in, probably.
Okay, so if that's going to be the route Packers go, great. But how about Goody? I'm going to put a challenge out to Goody. Pick up the phone. And just make sure there's no other DeAndre Hopkins situations out there in the league. Get on the GM app and say, hey, anybody else looking to unload a franchise wide receiver for reasons unknown, I need one. Because Hopkins would have been an amazing fit across from Devontae Adams in Green Bay. People would have been going nuts about that. Is A.J. Green, who's been franchised by the Bengals, are we sure? Is the football world absolutely certain that if you made a phone call to Mike Brown or whomever in that building, that you couldn't maybe get A.J. Green in a sign-and-trade thing? Kick some tires, Goody. Don't go all in on the draft class. That's one thing that stands out to me.
There are whispers out there, and I get that they're not coming from the Associated Press at this point, but there are whispers, and this is how the Odell Beckham trade started in Cleveland initially.
Sessler always on whispers. The defense. I don't know
and
why.
There are whispers that – no, but there are whispers that he is potentially available, and I've just thrown that out there.
Who?
Talk in a week and see if
– Who's he?
What do you mean who?
Who are you? Who is he?
Odell
who is
Beckham?
Available?
Odell Beckham.
Okay.
In Cleveland, that's been talked about forever, that it's not that they're trying to move him, that they're desperately trying to move him. It's not a Bill O'Brien situation at all, but that they are listening to that. And I still think if I'm Green Bay, I would rather get someone like Emmanuel Sanders than Robbie Anderson on a short-term deal. But the Packers notoriously last offseason were singing Dixie about how excited they were about their young guys. And I thought the season played out to show that they shouldn't have been. And are they doubling down just because that's how they felt a year ago?
I doubt it.
I agree with you, Dan. They need to add weapons. But it's a good wide receiver.
Odell Beckham, how crushed is Odell Beckham that the Browns' new uniform fashion show is canceled? I mean, that's been the thing that he's had circled on his calendar for decades, potentially. He's going to lose that.
How do we know it's canceled?
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Could do that virtually.
I think with Robbie Anderson, I'm glad you mentioned the money. Like, as a younger person, I used to think, yeah, you might as well just ask for as much money as you possibly can. Like, it couldn't possibly hurt. But I think, like, and it's sometimes it can hurt. But in Robbie Anderson's case, it's like, yeah, like, he throws that money out, and everyone's just like, okay, forget about Robbie Anderson.
Oh, by the way,
like,
Jameis Winston did the same thing as soon as the season ended, thought he was a $100 million quarterback.
Right, exactly. And we had reports on our network saying they were going to franchise him and that he wanted more money than that. And sometimes, like, that can cool the market on a guy like Robbie Anderson, who I think will still get a decent contract, but it just where there's no interest. I'm going to make a match, by the way, while we're talking receivers. Manny Sanders to the Cowboys. There's this perception that the Cowboys don't have cap space. They got plenty of cap space right now. I would love to see a little Manny Sanders between Gallup and Amari Cooper and Fly. Like, let's win now, Cowboys.
Yeah, that Cowboys cap apocalypse probably doesn't hit for another 2 years or so.
Well, there's an update on this. As we went to air, ESPN's Todd Archer said, based on multiple conversations I've had with Cowboys folks, I'd be stunned if Manny Sanders ends up there.
Hmm.
But that was in the air for a day or two.
I still like the Ravens as a landing spot for him. I just think that he is a perfect teammate. He fills a perfect need for them at a Super Bowl open window scenario that I think he wants to. That matters to him right now. And, you know, they don't have a ton of cash necessarily, but with what they've done on their defense, like, the Ravens are one of those teams that I think that have helped themselves a lot. And I do see a need for wide receiver, and Manny Sanders would be.
How about the Niners? How about the Niners find a way to keep him in the building? He was a great pickup for them. The only reason he faded at the end is he was hurt.
Sounds like that's possible. I would love to, like, give some cool players, especially Cam Newton, to the Patriots. But the Patriots have zero cap room right now. So I'm curious what they are going to do about that, because they have some big moves, I think, yet to make. Maybe it's still restructuring and you just go with Stidham and this is what they're doing. But knowing Belichick, it feels like there's something big coming to clear some of that space out so that they can get flexible and do something. Maybe they're just going to go to camp with Stidham, but Cam Newton would be a lot more fun.
What about, like, a direct snap offense where you use Joe Tooney as an all-purpose fullback who the center is direct snapping to, and he gets 600 to 700 touches this year for 780 yards?
They are bringing in Danny Vitale, the fullback from the Packers. Like, that's been the Patriots' big move. You could go double fullback.
How does, just from a mechanical point of view, more than a realistic possibility, the first round tender given to your boy, Taysom Hill, how does that work? So if you sign him to an offer sheet that the Saints fail to match, you have to give up your first round pick?
Exactly.
But you could work out a trade, and that's happened plenty. So in theory, if the Patriots wanted to offer a second round pick for Taysom Hill, you know, the Saints could still agree to take it if they wanted to.
Maybe catch Sean Payton while he's not feeling 100% and snatch Taysom Hill away.
Cold-blooded.
What? I'm just saying, you know, it's like he's probably not total head in the game right now. You could maybe...
Feels like Belichick would go there.
I think he would. Doesn't sound like a very nice man.
Sessler's like the Tom Hanks friend who's trying to, like, take advantage of him during his time of need, take some money. Hey, can I go stay at your house in LA? You're in Australia.
I don't put it past Bill, like, sending a package or something to Sean Payton, and that's how this all started. And it was all part of a long
What's
play.
What's in that package?
Well, you can figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need to they're going to change some players. I don't know. The cap thing with them is interesting. I just feel like they have, like, maybe it's Julian Edelman. How about that?
Little FedEx COVID style Ricky Holland.
Yeah, seriously.
What is Erica laughing at?
Because Dan was like, I think Bill Belichick literally sent a package to Sean Payton, and this is how this whole thing started. And Greg's like, yeah, I agree. Like, he didn't even hear. And it was just funny.
It does show how much our world's changed. 6 days ago, Sean Payton was in a packed shoulder to shoulder infield of a horse racing competition in which he owned some horses, and he was doing interviews about how free agency was going to get delayed. That was 6 days ago. And he was surrounded by like 1,000 I'm sure that people will end at well. That point.
Interesting times.
Yikes.
Think about the horses.
Anybody else want to throw out one before we sign off for the weekend?
This sounds very hometownish for me, but like Clay Matthews is out there, and I think that very few draft day gaffes by the Browns annoyed their fandom more than not when he was there and he was available, not drafting Clay Matthews after the incredible Hall of Fame worthy to me career that Clay Matthews too had in Cleveland for years and years. That Clay Matthews is available, they could use a pass rusher. And I don't know why you just don't bring him in for 1 year. Wait, you got those old uniforms coming back, like you mentioned. That's who you model. You virtually model Clay Matthews in your old school Browns uniforms. He goes in there. What do you have, 8 sacks last year? I'm not saying he's the same old guy, but he had a pretty solid season, at least the beginning of last year. Just see what, you know, you have to drop $45 million on the guy.
So you basically just want to bring him in because he'll look hot in the new uniform? Is that basically what you're getting at here?
No, because his father played there, and it's like if Todd Gastineau were available, you know Todd Gastineau.
Not if he could apply.
So it's the same that you would. That you would.
I hold no affinity for Mark Gastineau.
Don't worry, you have Neville Hewitt. You don't need Todd Gastineau.
Wow. Ooh.
Ouch.
Hey, not a free agent, but Trent Williams, he's sort of like Jameis Winston to me. I went around the league, all 32 teams, and I'm not seeing a team desperate right now, which seems weird after the last few years. I'm not seeing a team desperate for a 32-year-old left tackle. Teams like the Browns, I think, are eyeing the draft with a strong tackle class. And to me, the Redskins need Trent Williams more than anyone else does.
That's a good one. Jason Peters is out there, too, and he is 37 years old, turning 38. Feels like a guy, he could still play, maybe a good short-term guy where you – I'll use my team as an example. If you're in the market for a left tackle in the draft, that you could get a guy like Peters, maybe start the rookie on the right side, and then when it's time, he could slide over. He's also injury insurance if Peters gets hurt.
Jets have George Fant.
What's that?
All their problems are settled with George Fant. The Jets have George Fant, and they're good.
Hey, listen. Yes, you know more about offensive line play than Douglas. Joey Douglas, because Joe Douglas has been making savvy under-the-radar offensive lineman signings all week, and we don't even need to get into it on the show, but this guy is plugged in, and he knows what he's doing. Look out.
Is Ndamukong Suh still a free agent, or did he re-sign? Yes,
he is.
He's on the street.
Free agent, yeah.
This is his move. He doesn't sign right away, does he?
No. What's his buddy, Lee Iacocca?
He's always hanging around.
He's been talking to Lee Iacocca, and he's, you know.
Lee
Iacocca. I forgot about that.
And Lee,
the Chrysler guy?
Lee said, hold off. Yeah. You could sign always later in the summer at this juncture of your career. All right. Everybody, have a nice weekend. Is it even a weekend anymore? Have weekends ceased?
Well, we don't have to podcast.
So yeah, that's a difference. But in terms of days, are days a thing anymore or are days over?
Not really.
Well, I would say, honestly, I will not be doing 3.5 hours of math and reading homework with a child tomorrow. I mean, we'll do something
good.
More engaging and fun, I hope. Where will we go? I have no idea.
That's good for structure. Hike, right? That's good. Like,
teach the boy to fish.
I was asked by Phil Spector, our editor, to put together a post free agency wave one power rankings. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I have to file it by noon on Monday, which means should I do some work today, Friday? Because I want to keep the weekend open to spend it with the family. But it's like all I do is spend time with my family now. So I think I will be doing some of that assignment on Saturday and Sunday. So it's kind of essentially flipped. Everything's inside out now. I don't like it. I like the way things used to be.
We the city of Los Angeles and our entire state
you got your clean air
down since we last.
You have your nice, pure,
podcast.
Clean air
we're
now.
Supposed
so.
To have an NFL Now and Total Access at NFL Network today, and it's all canceled. The entire building is closed. There is no more NFL Network.
Ricky,
Los Angeles.
We have what's essentially a thriving video NFL analysis show 5 days a week that we've been doing. 6 days, to be completely accurate. How is this not something that the Shadow League figures can just put on television 5 days a week.
You know what? I've been pitching it, and that's why I've been doing all these different things with videos. So we are putting out video content. So we appreciate all the shares and likes on Instagram and Twitter, and hopefully we'll be used.
I mean, come on. Not only do we give trenchant analysis with a dash of mirth, we also are doing it every day, and they don't have content. How many times – like I checked in on NFL Network right before we came on, and it's Jameis Winston Showcase was the name of it, and they were just playing Jameis Winston games, which, by the way, Jameis Winston, is he paying NFL Network to essentially advertise his wares? Although I guess showing Winston highlights from last year might not be a great advertisement. But –
that Bucks-Rams game's underrated, 55.
Just put us on the air. We're not even asking for a raise yet.
Hey, Mark, via two
minutes. Now's maybe not the time.
2 minutes ago from Tom Pelissero, tight end Seth DeValve has agreed to terms with the Panthers per his agent.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, the Panthers, they're Mark. In a rebuild, and they're looking for superstars of the future, and that is Seth DeValve right there. So I think that is a tremendous landing spot for him, and I expect tremendous, huge things.
Great.
That was very Trumpian, by the way. Just say tremendous a lot. Just say huge. And nobody will notice.
I think I topped his press conference from today, actually, based on what...
Seriously.
I am.
You do?
All right. Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you, Mark. Maybe this is a good time for us to say goodbye. Thank you to the audience. Thank you to you, Ricky, for helping us to do this. A full week of shows done in 5 different locations. Technology's not so bad.
Thanks to my kids for staying quiet. Are they still in the house? Are you guys here?
Well, let's sign off so you can make sure they're safe. And I need to do some dad work now as well. So everybody, stay safe. Do what you got to do. Stay inside the house. Don't do anything stupid. Don't go to spring break. I mean, are you kidding me? You're going to spring break, kids? I mean, I get it. It sucks. It's screwing your spring break, but are you being serious with this? Wes, come on. Come down on these kids.
I can't wait until I have to deal with all that.
What a disaster. Anyway, thank you for listening. This is the Around the NFL podcast presented, of course, by the great people at Intuit QuickBooks, the official sponsor of the NFL. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood all across the Southland. Till Monday.